The Fan on Demand. This is the Jeff Blair Show, Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
We are back on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. I am Jeff Blair. Well, the Toronto Blue Jays held their annual State of the Franchise event last night at Rogers Centre. John Farrell, Alex Anthopoulos, Paul Beeston answered a number of questions from season's ticket holders, and then later on did a did the usual media scrum thing. And it's always an interesting exercise. It's always interesting kind of trying to gauge the attitude and the spirit, I guess, if you want to put it that way, of the season's ticket holders at these events. And a lot of these people go to these events have been season's ticket holders since day one. And you really do get a sense, I think, a bit of a barometer. I mean, these are the true believers. I get that. But you do get a bit of a barometer about what people are feeling about the franchise. And it was pretty apparent yesterday, or pretty apparent last night, that a lot of people have really kind of glommed on to what Alex Anthopoulos is doing. A lot of people buy in to this rebuild or restructuring or retooling, whatever you want to call it. You know, and I think part of that comes from the fact that Alex Anthopoulos and our next guest, Paul Beeston, have done a pretty good job communicating with fans, have done a pretty good job letting fans know what's going on. I think back to the Roy Halladay deal, and in a masterstroke, you know, Alex Anthopoulos going on the Blue Jays website, essentially a video hookup, and explaining the deal to fans. So a lot of the reason fans, I think, have fallen in step with this is because of the way things have been explained to them. Now, a couple of interesting things came out of the state of the team last night, state of the franchise. We're going to address those now with the man who is the president and CEO, Paul Beeston. Paul, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Jeffrey, pleasure to be with you, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I made the point. It's a pretty optimistic, pretty positive gathering last night. One thing you said that really caught my attention, and I think caught a couple of fans I talked afterwards as well. You know, and I don't know if you were just kind of using this as a general statement, but you were talking about, you know, Alex's idea of not just having a 2 or 3 year window of opportunity, but essentially positioning the team so that it can be a consistent factor, you know, in a playoff run. And you said you could see the day where the Jays might spend $140 million on payroll.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where we want to get to, Jeff. You know, we've taken it in a different direction over the last little while, where we've actually reduced the salaries, but plowed it back into free agents and to development. And I talk about the amateur free agents when I say that. But I think more importantly than that, what we're trying to do is to raise our revenue and raise the salaries at the same time. Should we get back to where we draw $3 million, which I think we can do, but we have to give the people a reason to come to the games. And that means we have to win. At that point in time, our revenue goes up, and we plow that right back into salaries. I take the position we're a large market team. Our peer groups are the Yankees and Boston and the Cubs and the Dodgers, St. Louis, and that's who we should be competing with. And if we're going to compete with them on a consistent basis, we're going to have to be in that $120 to $150 million range. It doesn't mean you have to be at $200 million, because I don't think you have to be there to win. But if you're going to have stars, if you're going to be good, you're going to develop players, you're going to have to keep them. And as one chap asked last night, which I thought was a good question about a salary cap, if we don't have the salary cap, then we have the ability to keep those players. And if they've drafted well, developed them well, these guys have performed at the major league level, then all of a sudden, you know, we can have a group of guys that, you know, we'll be forced to pay to keep because we want to win.
You know, Paul, one of the things that you know, people have written me and written to me about and have, you know, emailed me and have said to me, And I'm going to ask this very respectfully. Why wouldn't Rogers just say, you know what, let's spend $120 million right now? In other words, people are saying, well, wait a minute, this idea that revenue, you know, has to, that salaries rise with revenue, why not just raise the salaries right now?
Well, I think if we were guaranteed that we could just raise the salaries right now, get the right players, we'd be here for a long time, and therefore draw the people that we need to make sure that we can support those salaries, I think that makes a lot of sense. Unfortunately, at the present time, we don't have that luxury. We can, and I think you would agree with this, I mean, we could be in on Cliff Lee. We could be in on Carl Crawford. Right now, they're not coming here. If you recall the mobility of free agent players to Toronto, it was when we were good. I mean, they are the mobility right now is in a direction of where is a chance to win. And we want to be in that position. We want to be in that position where we can go after and genuinely attract those players. But right now, we would not be getting the A-level free agents without paying so much over realistic numbers that it wouldn't make any sense. So it's not just a matter of going out and buying the team. I think you have to get that, and I know Alex believes this. I know our entire baseball operation believes this. What we have to do is we have to build that infrastructure. And that's what we spent last year doing. That's what we'll spend this year doing. And that, hopefully, we can start next year seeing the results of that. Because ultimately, what it gives you, Jeff, is two things. It gives you a source of talent in the major leagues, but it also gives you the ability to trade for players that are of quality. And, you know, we had a couple opportunities this year. They didn't work out. But notwithstanding that fact, we do have some players in the minor leagues that have caught the attention of other teams.
Paul Beeston joined us in Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. When you talk about free agents, I mean, the one thing, too, that I think fans need to remember is, and you see this happen, and having worked in the commissioner's office, I'm sure you saw it happen a lot as well. You know, you really don't want to be in a position where you're doing two things. You don't want to be in a position where you're sort of the team people are using to drive up other teams, to drive up the asking price of other teams. And also, at the same time, you know, sometimes when you get involved in the free agent market and you miss out on the high-level free agents and you sort of, quote-unquote, settle for other free agents, that's where you end up signing the contracts that really hurt you.
Yeah, you sure do. And, you know, and there's always that disappointment. You know, why didn't that player sign here? You know, and you didn't pay enough money and, and the whole thing was a failure. So we're not there yet, Jeff. I mean, but, you know, we're getting very, very close. I mean, I think that our organization, I know that John Farrell is, but the coaching staff, the development staff, the scouting staff, Alex, I mean, I think they're very enthusiastic of what they're building down below and up top. I mean, we've got a lot of good young players. We've got a lot of good young arms. And, all of a sudden we were, I think a month ago, worried about the bullpen. Well, we may not have that one dominant closer, but we've certainly got a lot of depth there right now.
Paul, I wanted to ask you just to clear up one thing. There's a story out there that the Blue Jays sent, I believe, $5 million to the Anaheim Angels in the Vernon Wells deal. Arte Moreno, the Angels owner, is quoted as saying that. And I know there's, for the record, how did that deal come about and was their money transferred?
Well, we don't comment on the actual deal other than the players, and so I'm going to take that position and stick with it. But the deal came about actually between Alex and the California talking, and he explained it last night. He talked to Vernon. That was one of the cities that Vernon would go to, and I think at the time when the deal was made, Vernon still had to approve it, notwithstanding the fact that he said he would go. And he thought about it, and the relationship between Alex and Vernon is very strong. And the deal went down because Vernon said that he would go there. We got back a couple of players, and it's given Alex some luxury going forward of actually doing some things with the payroll and signing players. He wants, and I think that you know this, Jeff, in talking to him, he wants to bring these players along together so that, you know, when we get to 2012 and 2013 and 2014, and that matter for 2011, that they're a group of young players that you can see being here for a long time, and so we can have sustainable success.
Paul Beeston joined us in Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. What is the biggest concern, would you say, from what you know from talking to fans, about the Rogers Centre in particular, about the in-game entertainment, the production? What is the concern that you see from the fans, or what is the thing they bring up to you the most?
Well, I think that most of them, I think that it's the atmosphere. I mean, you know, you can't make people happy all the time because there's some people that don't want music, that don't want to have ace, that don't want to have things going on the field. And you've got other people saying, you've got to entertain us because we're bringing our kids and, you know, we need something going on the field. We need the music. The more events you have going on, the better. I think what we really have to do, Jeff, and we are a victim of the size of the stadium in some ways. We've got to put people in here to create that atmosphere, because I think people want the atmosphere. And the atmosphere with a winning team and 40,000 people in there is a great place to be. And when you walk away from there, you feel that you got some good value.
Paul, one of the other items you touched on last night was the possibility of expanded playoffs. Now, I know that this is a collective bargaining, an issue that will be settled with collective bargaining. And I know there's only so much you can say about it, but also the process is only, it's not fully, I think, engaged at this time. But it just reading some of the stuff that Bud has said, some of the stuff other owners have said, it seems as if there's a move towards expanding the playoffs in some form, is there not?
I think that's a fair thing, and I think it happens sooner rather than later. The Players Association have come out and said that they are supportive of it. Bud has come out and said that he is examining it, which in fact he is. There is no real decision made as to the magnitude of it, and you add a couple of teams, four teams, do you go as far as to add eight teams? I mean, all of that is being discussed, but it is a matter of collective bargaining, and I think that if you'd asked 5 years ago, I think that it was probably still in a traditionalist way of, we probably got six more teams than we really need, that, we should have two leagues and we'll just play the World Series the old way. Times have changed. I mean, and I know that my mindset has changed. I mean, I think you can add comfortably at least two teams, and you could add maybe even four teams to the playoffs, and it would make October and September a lot more interesting for a lot of teams.
What do you think is the biggest issue right now facing baseball in general? Just focusing beyond the Blue Jays. I mean, revenue seems to be growing. The attendance decrease, I think, considering the number of baseball games that are played on a nightly basis, and considering how bad the economy was in a lot of areas in the States. I mean, frankly, the attendance decrease was pretty well managed, wasn't it? It seems as if the game's economics are pretty strong.
The economics are good, but they're challenged, and there's a lot of contracts that are being signed. But if you ask me what the biggest issue is, I mean, I think it's been around since long before we were born. I mean, it's still competitive balance. And I don't know how you ever address that. I mean, you can work towards it, but there are teams. I mean, we would like to think that given our market, given our city, and given the size of the market, that we'd be in a position where we could have the sustainable run and we would be able to support high salaries. Not everybody can do that. And I think we witnessed an unfortunate situation this year in Tampa Bay, where they had to walk away from a few players that A, they drafted, and B, were cornerstones of their franchise. And that's the issue that we have to address, because I think the city should have, if they've supported the team, they've come to a group of players that can go on for a while. They should be able to at least keep them, and that's difficult to do given the economies of some of the economics of some of these cities.
Paul, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us.
Jeff, have a good day. Thanks very much. Good weekend.
Yeah, you too, Paul. That is Paul Beeston, President and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. Talking about the State of the Franchise event last night at the Rogers Centre. When we come back, we're going to take your calls, 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Paul Beeston says you can see the Blue Jays having a $140 million payroll when they're ready to contend. Are you buying it? I'm buying it because I think I have a pretty good handle on what these guys are doing, but I want to know what you think about it. I want to know what you think about the Jays, State of the Franchise, 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Back with your calls. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
We want to get right.
Couple of other items to come out of the Blue Jays State of the Franchise event last night at the Rogers Center. The new manager, John Farrell, general manager, Alex Anthopoulos, president, CEO, Paul Beeston, addressed season's ticket holders and members of the media who were there. A couple of items that came out of that State of the Franchise session. Firstly, as far as third base goes, as far as Jose Bautista goes, Alex Anthopoulos made it pretty clear that from his point of view right now, Jose Bautista is the third baseman of the Toronto Blue Jays. And a couple of fans asked about keeping Batiste in right field. He has expressed, publicly at least, a preference for playing right field over third base. He didn't express a preference of playing right field over third base. He just said he was comfortable in right field. And, you know, if you saw Jose Batista play there last year, an arm like that in right field is a weapon. I mean, it can literally save you a couple of runs. Nonetheless, Alex Anthopoulos says that he views Jose Batista right now as the team's starting third baseman, and that the DH first base position / DH first base, you know, is... The Jays want Adam Lind to be the everyday first baseman, and rightly so. At this stage of his career, I think he has to play every day in the field. But there's also a possibility that Edwin Encarnacion would factor in there, and that, you know, essentially there may also be an opportunity where they might do a little bit of alternating at the DH position as well. So that was sort of the most interesting thing as far as the actual positional issues with the Blue Jays are concerned, because I think in the minds of most fans, third base is probably the area of biggest concern in this team right now. The other thing that Alex addressed very clearly was J.P. Arencibia, and J.P. Arencibia was the topic of a lot of concern last year. A lot of people didn't like the way he was dealt with. Down the stretch, they didn't like what they perceived as a lack of playing time that he received from Cito Gaston. Well, I mean, you know, Alex Anthopoulos made pretty clear that this is J.P. Arencibia's time. The catcher's job is his to run with. And I thought Alex also gave a very good explanation to the fans about why John Buck was given so much playing time down the stretch. And it gave you a little idea into how Alex thinks. And he said when they were negotiating with John Buck to come to the Blue Jays, one of their selling points was, we will let you play every day through the season. Now, it would have been, you know, it would have been in keeping with the way some baseball teams do business, that with the Jays out of it in September and a young catcher, you know, in line, a young catcher at the team, it would have been in keeping to just say, you know what, John, we're going to give Arencibia more playing time. You know, you're going to have to lose a couple of at-bats as a result of this. And Alex Anthopoulos said, you know, I had made a commitment to John Buck and his agent. You know, I told them this is what I was going to do. And he said, I don't want this organization to, you know, get into a position where people don't, it's not that they won't believe his word, but he wants people to take his word, you know, the way it is. He talked about that's how you build relationships in the game. You know, and he said, we'd given our word, and we want our word to be part of our brand when it comes to recruiting players. So there were a couple of items that came up of interest to fans. And we're asking you, and the numbers are 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-660-590. What do you see as the state of the Blue Jays franchise right now? You heard Paul Beeston say that he believes the payroll could be up to $140 million. You know, the idea is to have the payroll rise at the same time as revenues rise. And you also heard him say that the argument about, well, why not spend the money now to attract people to the ballpark, he doesn't necessarily buy into that because, as he says, quite frankly, the top-level free agents at this time aren't coming to Toronto. Most top-level free agents, most free agent mobility in baseball, and indeed, frankly, in sports in general now, focuses around players going to teams where they believe they have a chance to win. So I wonder what you think about that, 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-660-590, what you think about Adam Lind hitting cleanup, which is one of the manager's plans, what you think about Jose Batista at third base. Omar in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Jeff, thanks for taking my call.
No problem, Omar.
I'm super excited. I'm sure that you know that from my last call. I don't know if you remember, but I have to say, with Rajah Davis, I think we're really going to get some bags out of this guy. This is finally, I think we have the speed. I'm really excited. I have season tickets. I have a game. Now, I have every single home game. They did a great promotional deal. I get the 500 level, any available seats. I just go up to the gate, and I have only paid $100. I'm loving this organization. I have so much respect for Paul Beeston and Anthopoulos. I'm so glad that we have two closers in the bullpen. I think Lind is capable of hitting cleanup, And we have about 6-7 players who are versatile. The depth in the bullpen, I'm so excited about this team. And they're young, so we're only going to get better. They're going to gel well together. And I'm excited to see what Farrell's going to do.
Yeah, you know, I'm like you. I'm very interested in seeing how he runs a game. I like the way Terry Francona manages his team. I like his in-game decisions. Pardon me. And John Farrell, as his pitching coach, spent a lot of time sitting beside Francona during the game. And, you know, and I've always thought that Terry Francona has never received enough credit. It was his abilities to manage personalities. I mean, it goes without saying when you look at the Red Sox clubhouse. But I like the way he runs the game. I like the way he makes use of the talent that he has. If you take a look at the Boston Red Sox, you take a look at the injuries that they've gone through, and the way Francona sort of very subtly will change how he manages the game. I mean, you take a look at this guy last year. He managed a team that had a lot of injuries. He managed a team that had one of its best hitters, David Ortiz, in a horrible slump. And he somehow managed to get that team through that. He somehow managed to get offense out of that team. And I think John Farrell, you know, having been that close to Terry Francona and having seen how Terry Francona runs a game, it will be fascinating to see how he makes use of a guy like Rajay Davis. You know, it's one thing to have a guy in your team that can steal bags. It's another thing to put him in a position to do so. And it will be interesting to see how John Farrell runs a game, what decisions he makes in game. And we won't know that, obviously, until we actually see it happen. You know, all we're doing right now is, you know, we're sort of assuming, you know, there's a lot of talk about, well, the Jays are going to play more small ball. You know, let's see how this batting order shakes out. Let's see if Aaron Hill rebounds the way people think he's capable of doing. Let's see if Adam Lind rebounds to that degree. And frankly, I do think that, you know, as Alex said yesterday, he's pretty much done. I do think this team needs to add another left-handed bat. They need to add another bat off the bench. And I really do believe that's probably going to come, but you may have to wait until spring training to see that. Because as Alex Anthopoulos said, and it is very true, once you get around September, or once you get around February 1st, and once teams sort of get into a spring training mode, a lot of general managers aren't in a hurry to make deals or aren't willing to make deals because at that point they're saying, look, I've done a lot of my off-season work. I've spent my money in free agents. I've made some deals. I've got young guys coming up. Spring training starts in 2 or 3 weeks. I'm just going to see what I have before I make a trade. Before I make a trade I may not have to make, I want to see what I have in spring training. So I do think there are future deals to be made by the Jays. I'm just not entirely certain that won't happen until spring training. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. We're talking about the Blue Jays, about the state of the franchise. Dan in Burlington, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
How you doing? I can see them putting a team together much like Tampa Bay. Only difference being is they've got the money and they'll be able to keep it together for years to come. Perfect scenario would be 3 to 4 years down the road is being able to bring back Roy Halladay as a hired gun to go into the World Series or into the playoffs. That would be awesome. I see it might not never happen. But I have one question for you, though. You have an early scouting report on Gretzky's kid, the baseball player.
No, not at all.
Can you ask Anthopoulos if any of his guys have seen him? I'm just curious.
The next time I see Alex, for sure, we'll ask him that. I don't even know how old's Gretzky's kid. I have no idea, but we'll find out. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. We're talking about the state of the Blue Jays, state of the Blue Jays franchise. Do you like the direction this team is going? Are you buying that payroll could be $140 to $150 million when this team is ready to contend? What do you think about the possibility, the increasing possibility of expanded playoffs? I'm pretty much a baseball traditionalist in a lot of ways. I really was reluctant. I was really skeptical when the playoffs were first expanded. I didn't like the idea of cheapening the regular season. But you know what? It didn't take very long for me to realize that it really did make a difference to a lot of cities. It was reflected in TV ratings. It was reflected in attendance. You know, expanded playoffs were important because I think we as a society, a North American professional sports society, we judge success not just in championships, but on ability to make playoffs. And you have to, I think, give the fans, you have to dangle a carrot in front of the fans to keep them coming to the stadium in August and September. And if you're 10 games out of first place, that's not always easy. But if you're 2.5 out of a playoff spot, even if there are several teams between you and the playoff spot, it's a little easier to sell fans on that. It's a little easier to sell fans on the competitiveness of that. John in Pottageville, you're in Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
How are you doing?
Good, John.
That's good. Look, about a week or so ago, it looked like Molina was going to be out of a job. And I know he's not the most athletic guy out there, but I sort of like him. I want your opinion on what you think about him. And secondly, like, unless you get somebody else to play out in the field that has the same arm as Batista, I totally agree. He saves you maybe a run or two a game. So I don't want to see Batista play in third base. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I go back and forth in Batista. I really like him in right field, and I'm a big believer in, as I said, in the fact that that arm is a weapon, and that arm does in fact affect. We've seen it affect the outcome of games. We've seen it affect managers and strategy. We've seen it affect the strategy of third base coaches. But you know, at the end of the day, it's got to be what, when you sit down to look at the Blue Jays lineup, what makes the team the strongest? And if having Jose Bautista at third base does that, then I think you're almost obligated to do it. You know, now that gets to the question, though. You know, you're doing this at the same time that you think, or you'd like to think, you're negotiating a multi-year deal with the guy. I don't know, does that become an issue in contract negotiations? Now, Jose Bautista is a pretty good foot soldier. You know, he's a pretty loyal guy. But one thing that has become apparent, when you heard Vernon Wells in this show talk about guys who are going to have to assume leadership roles, he mentioned Jose Bautista. Alex Anthopoulos has mentioned Jose Bautista. He's used Jose Bautista. He sounded out Jose Bautista about moves. John Farrell yesterday in one of his media sessions said that he sees Jose Bautista as being one of the guys who steps up. So it appears to me that the Jays are investing a lot of they're investing a lot in Jose Bautista beyond just money. They're prepared to invest a lot in him beyond just money. And that gets to the point, okay, if you're going to do that, you know, will the guy be that much happier in right field? Is that a thing you have to do to keep Jose Bautista real happy? So as I said, I think that, you know, that's still out there. And I honest to God, I don't know. I mean, I would prefer to keep him in right field. But I don't know if that's going to happen. As I said, if the season started right now, I absolutely take Alex for his word that Bautista would be at third base. As for Jose Molina, the thing I'll say about Jose Molina is it was very apparent very quickly, first of all, that he's a very good communicator, that the pitchers liked working with him. He was involved in meetings. It's funny, usually when a pitcher and catcher hold a meeting, you know, it's usually just the pitcher and catcher and the pitching coach. They sit down at a table and they go over scouting reports ahead of the game. What happened with the Blue Jays last year is Jose Molina would sit in on game on meetings even when he wasn't catching. Same thing, John Buck would sit in on those meetings even when he wasn't catching. Eventually, they got J.P. Arencibia, I believe, to do the same thing. I think Jose Molina will be a very good teacher for J.P. Arencibia in terms of how you prepare yourself for each start, how you prepare yourself to handle each individual pitcher. The other thing that's interesting as well, and Alex Anthopoulos made this point yesterday, John Buck has been in contact with J.P. Arencibia during the offseason a couple of times just to kind of let him know, you know, hey, you want to reach out to me? I mean, I know we're not teammates anymore. You want to reach out to me? Feel free to do that. Here's some ideas I think you can use to prepare yourself for the season ahead. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Back with more of your calls in the Blue Jays. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other. The Fan Club. Join online at fan590.com. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
To the point of the caller who phoned earlier about Wayne Gretzky's child, Trevor, Wayne Gretzky's kid, Trevor has is a first baseman out in California. He has committed to San Diego State, which is, of course, Tony Gwynn's school. So I would say that's a pretty good sign. That's a sign that somebody thinks the kid can play. But you know what? It was an interesting question, and the caller wanted us to ask Alex Anthopoulos about Wayne Gretzky's kid. And that's certainly something we'll do. How cool would that be in draft? They think that'd be a big deal if the Jays drafted Wayne Gretzky's kid. Gretzky played in the Intercontinental League. Intercounty League. He might have played in the Intercontinental League too. He played in the Intercounty League for a while, I believe. He's a pretty good ball player. There's a lot of hockey players are. I keep telling people, Jocelyn Thibault is a great baseball player. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. We're talking about the Blue Jays in light of the State of the Franchise event yesterday at the Rogers Center and what your expectations are. What do you think the state of the Blue Jays franchise is? And if you want to get more specific, do you like the idea of Jose Bautista at third base? Do you like the idea of Adam Lind hitting cleanup? Joe and Grimsby are on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Hey, Jeff, you talk so much, I almost forgot what I was going to say.
That's good. I have to do that.
Jesus. Listen, I was a big Blue Jays fan back in the 90s. They lost me, and I'm starting to come back. They're starting to pique my interest. It sounds like I like what they're starting to do. And I think they're going to benefit from the Leafs doing so poorly, and that Toronto fans are so starved for some positive, something in their sports teams, that I think they're going to have a lot more fans this year showing up for the games. And I'm definitely back interested, and hopefully they can have a better season or a winning season so I stay interested.
Mm-hmm. Is that what it would take, Joe, to keep you interested?
Yes, it would. I mean, every year I kind of start watching the Blue Jays at the start, and then they fall behind 10 games, 12 games, and I lose interest, and I don't follow them anymore. So I think if they can stay in the race a little longer this year, they'll keep me watching a little longer anyway.
See, Joe, I think Joe's one of the reasons that I think you see the Blue Jays so much in favor of expanded playoffs. And I know, look, nobody's saying that if the playoffs expand, if more teams are allowed in the playoffs, it's a free pass for the Blue Jays into the postseason. You know, this division's always going to be tough. You're always going to have the Yankees and the Red Sox. Tampa Bay's always going to be good. Baltimore's on the way back. There will be a lot of hurdles to clear to get in the playoffs. But I think with Joe, you saw that's the fan the Blue Jays have to get back. They have the true believers. You know, the true believers are there come hell or high water. They need to get back the guy that is interested in the team and, you know, would be willing to follow the team and maybe go to a couple of games and pay attention to what they're doing. But, you know, if you're out of it in August, you'll lose them. Because, there are certain sports fans that are like that. As Joe said, if you're 10 games out, you know, you have to keep these people engaged. That's why I think expanded playoffs would definitely work here. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Jake in North York, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Yeah, hi, Jeff. I find Beeson's always coming up with some sort of excuse why not to expand or spend money, right? And here's one that I want to run by you because you've been around the game for years. And he's always saying, you know, it's really tough to sell this city to players. Now, the players that you've spoken to, when they get up here or they come into the city, do they go, what a drag it is to come to Toronto? I'd rather be in Milwaukee or Kansas City. This world-class city, why would I want to come here? I don't hear this. Have you heard this kind of thing?
No, absolutely not. I mean, as a matter of fact, most teams have what they call family trips, where, you know, they're allowed to take their wives and their kids on the trip. Toronto's quite often the family trip for a lot of teams.
Then why is he always using this excuse?
Well, it's not an excuse. Here's why. And he talked about free agent mobility. I mean, B.J. Ryan and Alec and A.J. Burnett signed here. And they, you know why A.J. Burnett, I mean, Ryan was released. A.J. Burnett ended leaving, exercising his opt-out clause because he wanted to go someplace where he thought he could win. It was nothing about the city. Like, people in Toronto automatically assume when a baseball free agent, you know, comes here and leaves, or when a player leaves here, that somehow it's a reflection of the city. It's not. But guys have a lot of mobility, and you know what? At a certain point, even if you like the city, you want to win. And what I think it's going to take here to get free agent players viewing Toronto as at least, you know, an option is, you know, they've got to think that there is a chance of winning.
Well, you know what? Roy Halladay, he said he left. He said he didn't say he wanted to go to the city was trying or that wanted to win.
He picked Philadelphia. No, yes, he did. Absolutely.
No, hello, Jeff?
Yeah, he absolutely did.
But what quote? He said he wanted to go to a city that was trying to win, a franchise that was trying to win. That's a big difference.
No, you know what? He picked Philadelphia. I mean, however he wants to put it.
Trying to win.
Jake, he picked Philadelphia largely because Clearwater, the spring training facility, is near where he lives. I mean, yeah, a city that's trying to win, absolutely. But if you talk to Roy about it, I mean, the reason this city, the reason it's not trying to win right now, the reason the Jays aren't trying to win is because they know that they can't get the free agents here.
Well, why would they think they ever could then?
Because they used to in the past.
85 wins last year.
Jake,
a little better management. They could have had 90 wins. Come on.
In this division, when ball players have a chance to go someplace where they think they have a chance to win, you're not going to go to the same division the Yankees and Red Sox are in. You're not, unless
I don't know. Money
unless
talks,
that team
man.
Is
money
better.
Talks.
Jake, money. You know what? Everybody spends the same money now, and you know, and you saw the Blue Jays overspent to bring B.J. Ryan and A.J. Burnett here. How'd that work out?
Not everybody spends the same money. Toronto spends like a small class city.
How did that work out? I'm asking you. I mean, they overspent to bring two pretty. You know, B.J. Ryan had a couple of good years.
Put Allison here, and we would be first place last year,
Jake,
or this year.
Jake, Carl Crawford didn't want to come to Toronto.
I'm not saying that.
Carl Crawford didn't want to go to New York, Jake.
The point is, this is how close this team is to winning.
No, well, you know, you may think that, but if a guy doesn't want to come to your city, it doesn't matter how much money you throw at him. You know, Carl Crawford, give me a break. Carl Crawford didn't want to go to New York. You know, I mean, People have this idea. I mean, these guys are making a lot of money. They're going to choose, if the money's equivalent, or unless it's a huge amount more, they're going to go to the place that they think they have a chance to win. That's why they do this. That's what free agency is about now. But the idea that you can, and people have made this point, and you're not the only one, Jake. I mean, people have, you know, send me emails. Well, how come the Jays aren't in on Cliff Lee, and how come they're not in on Carl Crawford? Well, because you know what? You know the agent. You know the player. You do a little bit of due diligence. I guarantee you that Alex Anthopoulos talked to somebody. Would Carl Crawford be interested in coming to Toronto? Whether it was an agent or somebody who knew Carl Crawford and found out he wasn't interested. So if he's not interested, why the hell get involved in a bidding war? Why let yourself be used to drive up somebody's value? Fans have to realize that. You know, this idea that, you know, as soon as the off season starts, there's like this little clock that goes and everybody starts talking to everybody about players. That's not true. You do your due diligence throughout the year. You absolutely do your due diligence throughout the year. I mean, the Jays inquired about Zach Greinke when he was available. Zach Greinke wasn't going to waive his no-trade clause. Fine, you move on. So, you know, it's very simple to sit here and say that if you know, you just throw money at players, they're going to come here. That's not true. It's not a reflection in the city. It's a reflection on the idea that the players want to go where they think they can win something. Carl Crawford wants to go where he thinks he has a shot at the World Series. I mean, if Carl Crawford wants to play with a team that, quote-unquote, has a chance to contend, stay in Tampa. Mike in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Yeah, Jeff, before I go to expanding the playoffs, I think we got to address the idea of this competitive imbalance with the schedule, where we're competing with the teams out of the West Coast and Kansas City and Detroit for the one playoff spot where we've got to play the Yankees, Red Sox, Tampa more often. And then you throw in interleague play, and that could skew the imbalance even more. So before we add more teams, I want an equal schedule.
Yeah, I'm not. Again, that's one of the things I go back and forth on. I don't. I like this. I like the unbalanced schedule. I like seeing the Yankees and the Red Sox more. I really do. I understand, you know, fans thinking. And the other thing too is, you know, if you have a balanced schedule, you know, again, if you take a look at the American League Central is not a pushover. A lot of good teams in the American League Central.
It's not, but then, like I said, you were looking at teams coming out of the West Coast that are one of those teams is guaranteed a spot when, you know, those divisions sometimes are weak. I'm not saying all the time. There's going to be ebbs and flows where, you know, the East may one day be the least. But right now, it's, you know, at some point, like Beeson said, there's a competitive imbalance. And what we should have is a competitive balance.
Yeah, you see, I don't know if a balanced schedule, I don't know if it necessarily creates that, frankly. I think if you expand the number of playoff spots, that's fine. I mean, if you look at the playoff structure, quite often, you know, it's amazing how balanced things are. You know, how often a wild card team doesn't necessarily come out of one of the stronger divisions. And I think if you add another couple of teams, you accomplish the maybe not as much as what you would accomplish by balancing the schedule, but you accomplish a little bit of that. But I don't see a balanced schedule coming. I just think there's too much, you know, there are too many places where having the Yankees come into your market on several occasions is worth just too much money for you to turn down. It really is. You look at Tampa Bay, you look at the attendance when the Yankees come into town. There's no way the Tampa Bay Rays can afford to not have that money. There's no way they can afford to kiss away three or four dates against the Yankees and get somebody else in that's going to draw 10,000. You know, it's just not going to happen. Michael in Brampton, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
I'm in the courtroom, can you bunny sitting? Hoppy, say hello to the Peel Law Association.
I don't know what the Appeal Law Association can do. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-660-590. Mike and Tilsonburg here on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
No problem, Mike.
I just wanted to comment that I think, first, I think this might go towards a couple of points people have made earlier about, you know, free agents wanting to come to Toronto. But I think what's happening here is not only do we have, you know, the more wins, not only do we have, you know, the more exciting game and all these people coming up, but I see an entire culture change in Toronto, as like in the Blue Jays franchise, and I see a winning attitude coming in. You come into MLB.com, you see that we've got three of the top 50 prospects in baseball right now, and they've got others that just barely missed that cut. And I think as these people come up and this young group just keeps getting better and better, as you say, when people want to win, they'll go where the winning happens. And people can look at this organization now and say, hey, they've got some really good times ahead of them. I want to jump on this wagon. So,
well, and absolutely, Mike. And here's the thing. I mean, I tried to make this point earlier. You know, I mean, let's be honest. If you're going to finish in fourth place, and I'm not going to be negative here, but if you're going to finish in fourth place, you know, frankly, I'd rather finish in fourth place with a $79 million payroll than a $120 million payroll. Because to me, if you're finishing in fourth place with a $120 million payroll, it means your team really stinks and you've made a lot of bad decisions.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing about AA. He is spending the money intelligently. And he is, so far, especially like I'm going to use the Brandon Morrow trade, for example, he is getting return on his investment.
And you know what go ahead, Mike.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And just one other point, too, about the balance of schedule. It's almost impossible to meet. You know, like you look at the NFL, and you look at the fact that they have a, you know, really stringent salary cap, et cetera, yet the AFC East is still the beast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's just sports. And you're always, if you want to be that top team, you're going to have to go through the Bostons and the New Yorks anyway. So they might as well be in your division, and you're competitive all year, right?
Yeah, and you know what, Mike, thanks for the call. I mean, a lot of people just use salary cap and balanced schedule as cure-alls without really understanding what's involved. I mean, Paul Beeston is very clear. He doesn't think baseball needs a salary cap. I don't think it does either. But a salary cap is a cure-all for everybody. You know, everybody says that, well, a salary cap is a great thing. I mean, I'm sorry. I think you can get by without a salary cap. I think you can have competitive balance without it. And I think, frankly, as baseball's showing, you can grow revenue without having a salary cap. When we come back, we'll shift focus to the Toronto Raptors. We'll talk to Paul Jones. We'll also ask you, the team could lose its 10th game tonight. Nobody has seen the general manager for a while. Does anybody care about the Raptors? We'll talk to Paul Jones about that in the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.